This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
If Florida State is doing national championships, ACC championships,
back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys get more banged and bruised, work in a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success to either something I can really do this.
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. You're on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. This is your host, Jason Staples. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about some changes to expect from the Florida State offense in 2015 and how Jimbo Fisher is going to adjust to an offense that does not have Jameis Winston at quarterback. We're first going to talk about some philosophical stuff and some of the ways that Jimbo Fisher works with his offense. And then we're going to transition into discussing some of the actual changes that we should expect in 2015. So let's go ahead and get to the first segment here where we're going to talk about some philosophical stuff in terms of Fisher's offense and how he wants to run it. And I was listening actually the other day to the Nolecast, which is another podcast, a very good podcast done by Ingram Smith and Bud Elliott, and listening to some of their concerns and discussion about what to expect from Jimbo Fisher's Florida State offense in 2015, particularly since there is no Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is not walking through that door, to paraphrase Rick Pitino's famous saying. Jameis Winston isn't walking through that door, and this offense is going to be very different just because of that. And more specifically, not only is Jameis Winston not walking through that door, but Sean McGuire and Everett Golson are not Jameis Winston. They're nowhere near Jameis Winston, particularly in the passing game. Neither guy has the kind of feel and anticipation and just natural ability in the passing game that Winston brought. I mean, if you want to talk about a quarterback that was built to play in the Jimbo Fisher offense, Jameis Winston would be pretty close to a prototype. I mean, Fisher typically might want somebody who's a little bit more mobile than that. But as a passer, I mean, he's built to play really almost any passing offense. But the Jimbo Fisher offense in particular that asks a quarterback that typically asks a quarterback to operate with a lot of anticipation, to throw the ball downfield, to challenge defenses. And in particular, one of the things that not only did Winston's great anticipation help, you know, show exactly what a Jimbo Fisher offense can look like at its best, but also because he was so smart and able to handle the checks and the protections and all of these other things, he gave that offense a lot of flexibility so that, you know, they didn't get stuck. And we'll come back to that point in just a moment. But the bottom line is, with the guys that they have on the roster right now, none of that is really the case. That's not going to happen in 2015. This offense will be very different because they don't have a Jameis Winston or anybody like that. So there's no doubt about that. Now, when I was and I talked to Bud on the phone some as well here in over the last day or so, talking about some of the things that, you know, we were kicking back and forth, some of the stuff that he had been talking about on that Nolecast, and I figured it would be worth bringing up some of the things that we were talking about in that as well. The main thing is, you know, Bud had said in that Nolecast episode that he was concerned that basically the reports from camp had said that the quarterbacks continued to struggle, and that's true. There's no doubt about that. That the quarterbacks have continued to struggle in camp, and that Golson has gotten frustrated because he's not picking things up. He's not where they were hoping or expecting him to be at this point. That's also true. And basically, Bud had expressed some concern and frustration that Fisher had not yet really boiled things down and simplified the offense for Golson to be able to figure it out a little bit better, to make it easier for a guy who, you know, you do expect, and I expect, just like Bud and Ingram do, I expect Everett Golson to be the guy this year. So why not just simplify it and make it easy for the guy right up front and ease the transition? Why make it so difficult in camp to do that? This is a place where I disagree a little bit with Bud's perspective on this, in part because I know sort of where Fisher's coming from and how he does these things, how he runs his offense and how he works philosophically. And the thing you have to remember is that Fisher himself was a quarterback, and works from the perspective of the quarterback in his offense. And again, Bud mentioned that in his piece, but sort of mentioned it that Fisher wants to run his offense through the quarterback and really prides himself on being a passing guy. That second part is not exactly true. The issue, the thing that Fisher really is concerned about with his offense is to make it as quarterback friendly as possible. Because Fisher remembers what worked for him and what and has a good idea of what works to make things easier for quarterbacks. So, for example, one thing that that a lot of defensive-minded coaches don't understand that Fisher really gets is if you want to protect a quarterback, if you want to make it easier for that quarterback and especially, you know, an inexperienced guy, a guy that, that you maybe don't trust as much, then a lot of defensive guys run the football on first down to try to protect their guy. You know, you're going to just run it and pound it and pound it to make sure that your guy doesn't have to get in, you know, doesn't have to throw the ball as much. Fisher understands that that actually tends to backfire because then defenses can load up on neutral downs, on first down particularly, stop the run, and then you kind of have to throw. You wind up putting your quarterback in third and 10 or, you know, third and eight kind of long yardage situations where then the quarterback, you either are just going to run it again and go three and out, or you're going to have to give your quarterback now the responsibility of throwing into the teeth of a defense that's going to be rushing the passer and expecting the pass in the secondary. So what Fisher wants to do with a lot of his inexperienced guys and what he's done historically is he'll throw the football just a little bit more than average on first down. And he actually ups that percentage a little bit with guys who struggle a little bit more in the passing game, and he's more likely to run the ball on second down after an incompletion. So he kind of flips that a little bit to make it easier for his quarterback. So that's just, that's an example of how he works to try to make things simpler for his quarterback to make the game easier, to simple, you're throwing against the simplest coverages and so on first down when defenses have to be honest. So that's one thing. But the other thing is the way that Fisher installs his offense is basically they put in a full installation during camp. And the whole aim of what they're doing in camp is not to run the whole offense. No quarterback in Fisher's system is ever going to run the whole offense. Jameis Winston did not run the whole offense. He ran maybe 10 or 15% of it. That's just how Fisher works. And the reason he does that is he installs the offense. And then basically they, through breaking down film, looking at what's going on in scrimmages, talking to his quarterbacks, getting a sense of what they like, what they're comfortable with, they then pare down for the season to the things that the quarterbacks do well. So basically what Fisher wants to do is instead of installing just one system and asking all of his quarterbacks to meet that particular system, so let's say you're you're an Urban Meyer offense or an Oregon offense. Basically, those offenses, they do what they do. And a quarterback's going to come in, and there may be a little bit more running or less running expected from the quarterback, depending on what he's able to do. But the offense is a system that's going to be run, that's going to look pretty similar, regardless of who's under center. That's not true for Fisher. Fisher really wants to customize what he does to his personnel, and in particular to what his quarterback does well and feels comfortable with. So what he's going to do is he's going to install that extra stuff, and he's willing to let his quarterback struggle in camp. But once we start getting now to the season, what he's going to do is he's going to boil it down and say, okay, Everett, what are you comfortable with? We've seen this, this, and this on film. These seem to be the things that you do the best. Here's how we're gonna do these things. Are you comfortable with this? Is there anything else that you want to do? And so then that becomes the base from what Florida State's going to run. Now, there are some non-negotiables in terms of what Florida State's going to do. I mean, they're going to be a primarily zone running team. You're going to run 85%, you know, outside inside zone stuff. The question is going to be how much zone read packaging are they doing, that sort of thing. Those things can change depending on the quarterback. But, you know, in the running game, certain things aren't going to change. But the overall packaging and what they put together is going to change depending on what the quarterback's doing. So that's partly why we've seen what's going on in camp, where they've got a lot more offense really than these guys are going to be running in the spring, and they're testing it out. They're trying to probe the limits of what their quarterbacks can do. And so for me, you know, as someone who's been through a PhD program, this is sort of like taking a PhD candidate. You know, the way that this works is, you know, as after you finish your coursework and you've read and done all this stuff for exams, you sit for exams, you take your written exams, and then you have your oral defense. And the oral defense is where your committee basically tries to probe the limits of your knowledge. They're going to ask you things that you just, you really aren't going to be able to answer, because they want to know how far, how deeply can you go? How wide can you go on some of these areas, some of these issues in your field? Do you know the field really well? Where are you comfortable? Where are you not? Because they want to find out if there's any weaknesses. But once you've passed through your exams, that's the last time that happens. After that, then it's time for the dissertation and all that stuff. And once you get into the dissertation, it's about helping you craft something that is really good and really detailed in a specific area. And by the time you get to the dissertation defense, that's sort of like game day. You're not actually running you're not expected to know everything that you knew even on exam day, but you need to have a really, really, really firm grasp of the stuff that you've written in your dissertation and know that field especially well. That's kind of how Fisher takes his offense. He wants to probe the limits of what his guys can do, and then he's going to pare down and make sure that they can do the few things that he's going to ask them to do really, really well. And it that doesn't happen really until the season. And the thing that we're going to see is that the offense in 2015 is going to look nothing like what the offense looked like in 2014, 2013, even 2012. It's going to be very, very different with Everett Golson at quarterback. And, you know, if Sean McGuire somehow surprises, you know, if something happens and Sean McGuire winds up being the guy, it's also going to be very different. But with Everett Golson at quarterback, which is, again, is what we expect, this offense is going to be extremely different because he just has a completely different skill set, and he's comfortable with different things than what you saw from Jameis Winston and even EJ Manuel and going back. So what we're going to see is that the offense will be boiled down. And that was one of Bud's concerns. And I, you know, I can tell you, I talked to Jimbo Fisher this last summer specifically about some of this stuff. And I asked him what he could expect from Golson, you know, these guys coming in. And he reminded me, he said, listen, you got to remember, we run a different offense for every quarterback. We change what we do depending on what they're comfortable with. You got to remember that. And we're not going to ask Everett to do the stuff we asked from Jameis. We're just going to have him do less stuff. We're going to, you know, I can change. He said, I can change how much he's responsible for at the line of scrimmage. I'm not going to give him, you know, I'm not going to ask him to do the things that Jameis did, you know, the protections and all this other stuff. We can't ask that of him. And, you know, if we're going to find out where, what we can ask of him, and then we're going to ask that. So that, if anything, for those of you out there who have some of these concerns, that tells you that even in the summer, Fisher was already aware and already planning for some changes in that regard on what he would have to do offensively to accommodate a different situation at quarterback. So that's already been a part of the plan. And more specifically, he knew that Golson, now this was only really known once Golson got on campus, but he found out when Golson got on campus that despite what it sort of looks like on film, you know, Notre Dame runs some downfield, you know, runs generally a pretty large passing tree, and they run some pro style concepts and things like that in the passing game. You would expect that Golson would come in with a decent background in terms of conceptually to be able to handle what Florida State does in the passing game. When Golson got on campus, Fisher found out that is not the case. Basically, they discovered that, and Golson discovered that what they did at Notre Dame was very, very different from what they do at Florida State, particularly in how they teach it. So Golson had to start from closer to scratch than anybody expected on some of this stuff at the beginning, which means he had further to go. But Fisher already knew that in July, which means he had already had to sort of dial back what he was expecting to do. Now, yes, Golson has continued to struggle on some things, to pick some things up. But this is, again, part of what they kind of already knew in July. And so they were already planning on, we're going to have to make some changes in terms of how, what we're going to ask him to do, what we're going to do in the passing game. Those things are going to change. Once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast here on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. And we're talking about the Florida State offense and how it's going to look different in 2015. So specifically then, what then do we expect? What should we expect from the Fisher offense in 2015? The first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to expect this offense in terms of balance to look much closer to what we saw in 2008 rather than what we saw in 2013. Now, this may surprise some folks who are, you know, again, are used to thinking about Fisher as a passing guy, a guy who really, really just, you know, loves to throw the football and he's going to pitch it around the yard all the time. Last year's offense was that offense. They averaged 36.8 passes and 32 rushes per game. So they about four more passes than rushes per game, partly because they were behind so much and they were coming from behind and they basically had to throw the entire half, say against Notre Dame or against Louisville or these sorts of things. Entire second half boils down to passing to try to catch up because you're down by multiple scores. But this year, I think it's going to be closer to what we saw in 2008, where they averaged about just under 38 rushes and 27 and change passes per game. I think we're going to be around that same zone, and I think we may actually see Florida State run the football a little bit more than 38 times a game. And obviously you have to account for padding some. I think they'll throw the football a little bit more when they get ahead. Again, let's say against Texas State this first week, they get ahead. I think they're gonna turn it a little bit into kind of a quasi pass scrimmage to get the quarterbacks a little bit more comfortable in different places. But in the serious games in general, what we're gonna see is an offense that I think is gonna look more like that 2008 offense in terms of balance. You know, closer to 40 rushes and mid 20s passes per game. I don't think there's much doubt that that's where they're going to go. And, you know, again, Bud Elliott has expressed to me and to others that he doesn't think that, you know, he's suspicious. He's skeptical of whether Fisher is going to be willing to stick with the run like that. First of all, I do want to point out a lot of Florida State fans would be surprised to learn that since Jimbo Fisher got to Florida State in 2007, there's only been 2 years, if I remember right, there's only been 2 years where they've thrown the football more times than they've run it. So Florida State actually tends to run the football overall more than they throw it. Now, so a lot of that comes in garbage time when they're ahead and they're running the football, but that's true for everybody. But this year, I think, is going to be even more tilted in that direction, like I said. The question then is whether Fisher will stick with the run or whether, in Bud's words, whether or not we're going to see his ego get in the way and say, no, you know what, I want to pitch it around the yard. I don't think that's really the case. Partly, there are a few things involved. One is that I think you've got to remember not only is that Fisher has an ego about his offense, but he has an ego to show that he's not just the caricature that some people think he is. He wants to show people that he is willing to run the football. So that's another aspect of that. It sort of layers there. That's another aspect of that, that he's going to want to show that he's willing to do that. And the other thing we've seen that he's willing to stick with the run in cases where it even makes his offense look inept. He's been, you know, I've said this for some years, and, you know, I got a chance to spend some time with Fisher when he first got to Florida State, you know, while he was a coordinator, and got to really sort of pick at him a little bit to learn sort of how he's wired on some of these things. And I'll tell you this, Fisher will run the football every time if he has to. He won't put it in the air at all if he feels like he can win by running the football and only running the football. And the proof for that is the game against Florida in Gainesville in 2011. They got a little bit of a lead and Fisher put the offense in the tank against that elite Florida defense and just ran the football over and over and over again. I don't remember. They had under 200 yards, I think, total offense, but they won. And Fisher talked in postgame about how that's important as a head coach to recognize, to make a distinction between what's good for your offense in terms of your offensive numbers and what's going to win the game. So he's aware of that distinction and takes pride in being a complete coach in that regard. So I don't think we're going to have that concern of whether he's actually willing to take that approach. He will. He will take that approach. The one place where I think that changes, and there's been some, there, and that's not to say that there have been time, that there have not been times where he's called some pass plays where I've just said, huh? One example of this is the 2012 Florida game, where he did have a huh, where they were running the football with success, and he did try to throw with EJ Manuel, and I felt like that in the late third, early fourth quarter turned the tide of the game. I thought he made a mistake there as a play caller. He did the same thing against Wake Forest several years ago. I think that was 2011, where he did the same thing where, you know, he abandoned the run in the second half, and I think that cost them that game. So that has happened. There's no doubt that that has happened. I think that happens with every coordinator where you abandon the run or the pass, you make some mistakes, and then in hindsight, you go back and you look, oh, geez, you know, this really cost us. Those are some examples. But I think he is willing to stick with the run. And he'll run it every time if he has to. You know, he will. And the other thing is he'll give Randy Sanders the responsibility of making sure that he does that over the phones, over the headphones. But the one place where I think that changes is Fisher does have a tendency to get spooked in this regard if he goes down two scores. If he goes down 10, 14 points, say in the second or third quarter, he does have a tendency to say, oh, you know what, we got to catch up. We can't afford to run. We can't afford to slow this game down. We got to make sure we keep possessions, and he will throw it a little bit more in that case. So we may see that a couple times because this team's bound to be behind some. But I think overall, particularly early in games, he's going to stick to the plan. They will run the football with this team. This offensive line is geared to run the football. The backs they have are geared to run the football. And Everett Golson is geared to run the football on some of these things. So we're going to see it. Now, the real test early on is going to be Boston College. That's going to be where the proof is in the pudding, really. The real test is going to be Boston College. Boston College last year had a top five run defense. I think they were second in the country against the run, and they return almost their entire front seven. So they're going to be geared to stop the run, and they're going to be vulnerable in the secondary. I'm going to be interested to see whether Fisher sticks with what I think he's going to do against Boston College. I think it's going to be easier to do against most teams where, you know, the defense isn't tilted one way or the other quite so much. But it's going to be interesting to see if against Boston College, they try to throw the ball around the yard a little bit more. I don't think they will. I think he is going to stick with the run against BC, in part because BC's offense isn't going to be good enough to challenge them and score 30 points and make them have to score a bunch of points to win, and he's going to know that. But I think they're going to be willing to get into a slugfest with Boston College. But that's going to be the real test early on. Are they willing to just run the football 40 times against Boston College and walk out of Chestnut Hill, you know, 24-14 winners, that sort of thing? I think that's going to be where we're going to see what's going on here. But in terms of what to expect from this offense, I think what we're going to see is an offense, I think they will run out of the gun a good bit because of Golson's height. But what we're going to see is a lot of zone read game, and we're going to see a lot of bubble screen type stuff tagged on there. So where last year they'd come to the line with a run play and a pass play, or run play and two pass plays, and Winston would sort of pick at the line based on the defensive look, they're not going to do that this year. They don't. The quarterbacks, Everett Golson's not going to be able to do that. First of all, you know, he doesn't have that intermediate passing game that Winston did. Winston was as good in the intermediate passing game as you're ever going to see in the college game. Everett Golson's not that. He can be a little scattershot in that intermediate area. Throws a deep ball very well, throws some short stuff pretty well, but he doesn't throw that intermediate zone all that well, all that consistently. He can throw in the intermediate zone well, but it's not as consistent. So I think what you're going to see is instead of that package of multiple plays at the line of scrimmage, like what we saw last year, we're going to see more packaged plays. That is a zone read type play with the quarterback with a backside bubble screen that's run at the same time, and the quarterback just does a box check and throws the bubble or runs the zone read. I think that's what we're going to see a lot of. You know, that's something that, you know, is a spread option staple, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that. A lot of spread option type stuff this year in this offense, because that's what Golson's going to be able to do well. And then they'll play action off of that and throw deep. I think you're going to see more chunk play type stuff, trying to set up some chunk plays. But I don't think you're going to see the kind of intermediate passing game or even attempts at the intermediate passing game like what you saw between the hashes, like what you saw last year. I just don't see it. I think what I think we're going to see, and by the way, when I'm talking about, you know, mid to high 20s, you know, 24, 28 passes per game kind of thing, I'm including bubble screens in that, which really should go down as runs because they're packaged with run plays, and it's basically just an extended pitch. It's basically the pitch on a triple option, if you want to think about how about the function that it serves. And, you know, that's going to be probably five or six of those. So you're looking at really 20, maybe 20, 21, 22 true passes per game. I think that's what we're going to see from this Florida State offense. So, and I'm absolutely confident that Fisher will be willing to do that. And not only will his ego not get in the way of doing that, I think his ego will force him to do that because he wants to win. The real question then is going to be against those teams like BC, where running the football is going to be tough. They're going to have some failure running the football early on, and whether or not, you know, he decides to, well, you know, we've gone three and out three drives in a row, we're going to run it again. That's going to be the real test. And then the other test is going to be what happens when they go down two scores. And I think when they go down two scores, we're going to see. That's really where the biggest test is going to be, and I think that's where I get my concern. That's where, if I'm looking at this knowing Fisher, that's where I get concerned that he drops the run and starts to go to the pass a little bit more, because that just goes to his tendency. So he's willing to play. You know, if Florida State is even or ahead or within a score, they're going to run the football a bunch this year. It's when they get you know, a team like a Louisville or somebody jumps on them early, or especially a Clemson, it's going to be in, that's where the concern is. But I think overall, philosophically, this is not a concern, not something that Florida State fans need to worry about. The thing that's going to be harder to deal with is the offense is going to be rougher. It's going to be very different from what people watching Florida State are used to seeing. You know, third down, third and long with Jameis Winston. If you're watching as a Florida State fan, you go, yeah, we got this. All right. You know, let's see what Jameis does. Third and long with this current group, you're going, okay, just run the draw. Or, you know, just chuck it, just see if we can get something deep. You know, that sort of thing. We're not looking at a situation where third and long is a gettable down more often than not with this particular offense. It's going to be rougher. They're going to have, I think, more chunk plays than what we saw last year. More big plays, particularly in the running game, than we saw last year. But there's going to be a lot of inconsistency. But that's part of what happens when you decide to pound the football a little bit more. You're not going to score as many points. The games are going to be shorter. And you are going to have a few more failed drives because, you know, sometimes you get caught for a loss, and now it's second and 12, and you're going to run the football again, and it's now third and six, and you're going to run it again, and, you know, there you go. You got to punt. So these things are going to happen. It's going to be a very different experience for Florida State fans to watch, but, you know, it will, I think, be revealing for people to see how varied Fisher's offense actually can be. I mean, going back to the Matt Mock days at LSU and all of these things, to the early, you know, to E.J. Manuel's first year as a starter, or when he was subbing for an injured Christian Ponder, or Christian Ponder's first year as a starter in 08, those years are going to provide more of the template of what we're going to see in 2015. And given the last couple of years, I think a lot of people have forgotten what those offenses looked like. And, it is going to be frustrating for people to see that, you know, things aren't going to run as smoothly as what they're used to when you have a number one draft pick at the quarterback position. But it's also going to be surprising to see how different this offense actually looks just in terms of its makeup and what appears to be its philosophy. The philosophy is really not changing, but it's the personnel that's going to be different. And Fisher always shapes his offense to his personnel. That's number one in terms of his philosophy, or number two, if you want to talk about not doing, you know, he wants to take what the defense gives. So those are your two, you know, preeminent philosophical chips for Jameis, or for Jimbo Fisher is he's always going to want to, he doesn't want to bash his head into a wall. He's not going to run into a nine man front. If, you know, he doesn't feel like he can get 3 yards, then, you know, it's pointless to run. And if he doesn't feel like he can throw against the secondary, then it's pointless to throw. He wants to make sure his guys have a good call against whatever defense is there. So he wants to give options. In that sense, it's kind of like a Paul Johnson type thing where, you know, whatever his guys are bringing to the offensive or bringing to the line of scrimmage, he doesn't want them to get stuck sort of Tecmo Bowl style with the wrong play. So that would be number one. And then number two is to make sure that everything is oriented toward his, or 1A would be everything is oriented toward his personnel. So that's a little bit of a discussion of what Florida State fans can expect from the Jimbo Fisher offense in 2015. Like I said, it's going to be very different. It's going to be, I'm very curious to actually see how things look, what things look like with this young offensive line. It could wind up being pretty good, but I suspect that there's going to be some real bumps in the road over this time. And it's going to be interesting to see how Golson basically handles being run a little bit more and doing some of the things that Fisher is going to ask him to do over the course of this year. So that'll go ahead and wrap it for this particular show. Again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a vSporto channel. I'm Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. I made this.